Well, have you been watching the Olympics this week? If you haven't, you got a whole another week to go. And I haven't watched as much this year as previous years, but once you start, then it's just kind of compelling. You know, I mean, it just is. And it's like all of a sudden you're cheering for somebody, or you get the little backstory on somebody. There are a couple of ORU grads, I guess, that are in the Olympics for one country and another I read about. But just the competition, the performance, people pushing themselves and, you know, world records and pushing their bodies and minds to do extraordinary things, and just the human drama and all of it, or whatever. It always makes me think of if you're as old as me, my childhood on Saturday afternoons, then the voice of Jim McKay spanning the globe to bring you a constant variety of sports. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Anybody remember that? Yeah. The human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC Wide World of Sports. You never got to see it, did you? It was great. And every week it was Vinko Bogataj, that Slovenian ski jumper that crashes and goes down the ski. Bless his heart, he did that every week. I mean, it was on for 20 years. They changed some of the other things, but they always left Vinko poof, just crashing down there. Anyway, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube and find that. It was the great voice of Jim McKay. But I think of what it takes for those athletes to perform at that level, and just all the work and the training and preparation that goes into that, all that's involved in attempting to win a gold medal. It's pretty phenomenal. It's not something that you decide one day, like, you know, I think I'm going to see if I can't sign up and be in the Olympics to compete. You can if you're hoping for last place. I could finish last in most athletic competition. But the point is not to see how poorly you can do, obviously. The point is to win the gold. You're giving it everything you can. And I watch some of that. I just think, I don't know how that works, you know. Of just people that are being lapped, you know, or whatever. I was watching part of the 1500 meter swimming thing last night, and I thought, bless those guys that are just out of the corner of their eye, they're thinking, that guy's going the other direction, didn't he? He's already been and back, and I'm still swimming in this lane over here. That's got to be a little disheartening. Or, you know, kind of the Jamaican bobsled guys or whatever. That anyway, it's just kind of compelling to see. To see what's going on, and the amount of just hard work and preparation and training and sacrifice that's involved in it. There are things you have to give up in order to win the gold, and it'll change your life forever, training to go for the gold. I remember years ago hearing a guy speak at ORU, and I won't try to give the details because, yeah, I've probably forgotten some of those details, but he was a very wealthy man. He had invented some stuff or whatever that gave him a great deal of wealth, and so he had put it in his will that in order for his children to inherit the inheritance, the estate or whatever, they all had to run a marathon. That was required. It would be millions of dollars, but they had to run and complete a marathon. And the reason he did it is because he said, you can't just go out tomorrow and run a marathon. You'll have to train. You'll have to prepare to be able to finish 26 miles or whatever it is for a marathon. And he said, and if they train to do that, it will change their life. It will build discipline in them that they need. And so that was the deal. I don't have millions, so don't worry about it. Yeah. Well, the Apostle Paul, several times in the New Testament, uses the backdrop of the ancient equivalent of the Olympic Games to make his point about Christian discipleship. So every few years, not every time, but every few years, I've done this to preach about going for the gold and to use the Olympics as kind of the backdrop for us, as Paul did. To be a follower of Jesus requires effort and training and perseverance and sacrifice and pushing through some pain and difficulty and all those things. So this morning, I want us to think of our discipleship, of our walk with the Lord, as going for the gold. And let me say at the outset to understand, we're not talking about working hard in order to be saved, all right? That's not at all what we're saying. We are saved by grace alone. It's by grace that we're saved, so we can't earn that. You can't work a little harder to score points with Jesus. That's not what we're talking about for salvation. But we are talking about pursuing the goal to be all we can be in our walk with God, to be that servant that is obedient and that trusts Him and that serves the Lord, that in our discipleship we are sacrificing whatever has to be sacrificed in order for us to say yes to God and His plan and His purpose, and to continue to say no to whatever the world offers that would be less than what Jesus has for us, and to be His disciple. So I'm just somewhere along the way, I want you to keep thinking, what if you put as much energy and effort into serving Jesus as you did in your pursuit of anything else? What if you put as much effort into serving Jesus as Olympic athletes put in going for the gold? What if you put as much energy and effort and time into serving Jesus as you did in your pursuit of winning at some other athletic endeavor, playing golf or whatever it is, playing softball or whatever? That's what I'm talking about, going for gold in terms of your discipleship. What do we need to do to win the gold? And the Bible gives us several answers, and several are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. And I'll just read these three verses real quickly. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So the first thing is obvious, and that is decide that you're going for the gold. Paul says it. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. You don't start out hoping for last place. I'm going to the Olympics hoping to finish dead last. That's my goal. At least I'm there. I don't think anybody does that. You know, do you think you can win? I think I got a shot at it. I think I can at least be on the stand, you know, bronze or whatever it is. You're going for that. Nobody's thinking, I'm hoping to be in the bottom five, whatever the clay medal. I don't know what, you know, the paper mache medal. I don't know what's down there at the bottom. You decide you're going for the gold, and then you begin to train so that you can run in such a way as to get the prize. That's what Paul says. Run in this way so you can win. Determine to do whatever's necessary to finish the race and win the prize. Athletes do whatever they have to do in order to succeed. It seems that no sacrifice is too great to pursue the goal of winning the gold. Long hours in the pool. You're there at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and you're spending hours swimming. I just watched those guys swimming the 1500 meters last. They're swimming nonstop for 15, 16 minutes or whatever it was, and I'm thinking the amount of energy that it takes to be able to do that, it's just remarkable. But it's because they didn't just jump in the pool and swim. They had to train and prepare for that. There's a swimmer over here or whatever. It's hours of training, whether that's on the court or running or whatever it is. Some of these young gymnasts, I always think they move away from family to train. The young girl, the 17-year-old that in Seward, Alaska, that won the 100-meter race, I think it was, there was only one 50-meter pool in Alaska. She and her mom moved hours away from her family so she could train to be in that pool. They give up a social life. They're laser-focused on training and going to the Olympics and winning gold. It's serious to them, and they train and sacrifice so they can run in such a way as to win the prize. Christians should take following Jesus as seriously as others take pursuing that gold medal, don't you think? I mean, when was the last time you sacrificed time and effort and energy and all those things for the sake of your walk with the Lord? We're running a race, but in the parallel of that, I've seen Christians kind of come casually to the starting block, you know, and the world's down there ready to go, and the Christians are kind of, you know, they got their head in the cloud and their hands in their pocket, and like, was that a gunshot? Oh, they're running, okay, and they take off, and they're just kind of too casual about the whole thing. Paul says, run in such a way as to win the prize. But this isn't a casual thing. This is serious business. This is about eternity. This is about serving Jesus and living for him. It matters how you run. It matters how you train, that you train yourself in godliness, that you spend time with God in prayer, that you know and apply the Word of God to your life. It's how you're going to be able to make it, because you've got his Word in your heart. That's how you run to win the prize. But it's going to cost me. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Anybody that wants to follow Jesus, he said, you'll have to take up your cross and follow me. It'll mean sacrifice. Yeah. You'll have to give up some things. It'll hurt. Yeah, it will. But that's because you're going for the gold. That's because that part of it doesn't come easy. But you do whatever it takes to live for Jesus, to run the race, to win the prize. You'll have to run when nobody else runs with you. Those athletes, those, you know, that are moving the train somewhere or whatever, it's like, but the rest of the family's not coming and your friends aren't coming. You've already devoted, hey, we're going to, you know, we're going to the concert or we're going to whatever. I can't go. Why? Because I got to spend 4 more hours in the pool. Because I'm training, because I'm preparing for gold, and so I'll have to leave that behind. And there's just some stuff living for Jesus that you have to say, yeah, I'm going to leave that behind. I'm not going to do that because I'm going for the gold. In fact, Paul makes the point in the next verse. He says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Your spiritual life, your discipleship will require discipline. Followers of Jesus don't just live any way they choose. Just like Olympic athletes don't just live as they choose. They've made a decision, and it affects how they live. It affects what they eat and what they drink and where they go and how they spend their time and who they spend their time with. They're in strict training because they have a greater goal and purpose in mind. They delay gratification. They put things off because they're going for the goal. They do without things that matter to them in order to achieve things that matter even more. They're training their bodies and minds to perform at the highest level so they can win the prize. Listen to me this morning. The child of God, Paul says, goes into strict training. And so the child of God says, that's not something I do. That's not what I choose, because I'm going for the gold. I'm choosing heaven. I'm choosing to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus, because eternity matters and walking with Jesus matters. And so we choose to do without things that matter to us in order to achieve things that matter even more, things of eternal value and importance. I plan to stand in his presence someday, and Jesus, the righteous judge, is going to present me with the winner's crown. So I'm going to say no to some things and no to things that won't help me in my walk with God. I recognize that some other people may be watching my life, so there's some things I'm going to say that may be okay for everybody else, but it's not for me, because somebody else is watching my life. Somebody is watching the way I live. It makes a difference. I'm in training because I'm going for the gold. I want to influence others to come with me. So I'm training my body, mind, and spirit to perform at a high level of obedience to Jesus and to his Holy Spirit, because I'm going to win the prize. I'm going for the gold, and I won't quit. I won't stop. That's what I've got to do. I've got to press on. So it affects how I live and the choices I make, because I've set my sight on Jesus. I've set my eyes on Jesus. I look back my years in school and high school and things, and look at the way I chose to live my life, and there are some things that probably that I thought was a horrible sin then that now I kind of go, I don't know if that's so bad or not, but you know what? It's just as well that I didn't do that, that I didn't go there, that I didn't participate in that, that that was not something I did, because there were other people watching. There were people following my life. It was important. It still is, because I want to please Jesus. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so, you know what? Whatever the sacrifice is, there's no sacrifice too great to know that you're obeying the Lord, pleasing him, and living your life so that it influences others in the process. Well, here's another thing. Don't be surprised when you're opposed. There's opposition in the game, in the competition. It's the nature of the Olympic Games. It's the nature of our life with Jesus. So 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. There's focus and determination, but you recognize you're in a competition here. We're running. You're not out for a morning jog. You're competing in a race, not running aimlessly. I thought about that aimlessly. I kind of pictured a kind of pictured a Monty Python moment or whatever, where they're all, you know, you got 10 runners in the blocks and the gun sounds, and then they all just kind of run willy-nilly in every possible direction instead of staying in their lane. They're just running off everywhere else. That's running aimlessly. Like, I don't know, where are we supposed to be going? Excuse me, where are we going? It's right up there. It's 100 meters right up there. That's where you're going. I didn't know. And you're just running around the track somewhere with no purpose and no plan. Listen, we're not running without purpose. We're not running without design. We're in a race. We're headed for a finish line. There are opponents trying to beat us. It would make it more interesting if they were trying to trip the other runners, wouldn't it, somehow or another? But anyway, that's kind of the way it is. Somebody's trying to stop you and block you. We're running the race. Stay in your lane and stay on track and stay focused on the finish line. Don't be distracted by all this other stuff. We're running to win and to win the gold. And then he says, you don't fight like you're shadow boxing, just beating the air. If you've trained the whole time and you've never trained in the ring, if you're a boxer, you never trained the opponent, you just had one of those little, whatever, either a bag or just one of those little outlines of a guy, and you're standing there punching him in the face or whatever, and then you get in the ring for the first time and think, hey, that guy's hitting me. I didn't know they were going to hit back. I've just been training with a punching bag all this time or whatever. Listen, no, it's a fight. It's a battle that you're in. Hey, this guy's, that hurts. Stop it, that hurts, you know. Yeah, no, I know, it hurts. Well, I didn't know it was going to hurt. Yeah, that's how we respond sometimes as followers of Jesus. I didn't know there was going to be an opponent. I didn't know somebody was going to punch me in the face. Man, my nose is bleeding. How is that possible? This might be harder than I thought. Yeah, let me just tell you, it will be. It will be. And there's an opponent in the ring with you, and he studied you, and he knows how you move and all that, and he's going to hit you as hard as he can. And so you have to know that. You have to be prepared for it, and then you have to fight to win the prize. Don't let the devil outsmart you. Don't let the devil outbox you, because God has given you his strength. He's given you his spirit. He's given you his word. He's given you discernment and wisdom and power to overcome, so you can fight the good fight and win, so we don't cower in the corner somewhere. We're ready to go. The devil's seeking those he can devour, but greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. We're able to conquer. We're able to overcome through Jesus. And so we don't back away, and we don't fight like we're just shadow boxing, just beating in the air, but we, with purpose, we fight this fight and we run the race. And bear in mind that sometimes we become our own opponent. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy in the ring. So Paul writes, no, I beat my body. And he's not talking about physically harming himself in that sense, but he's talking about making his body subject to obedience to a higher purpose and power. So I subject my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He's talking about discipline, so that in his life and his mind and what he says and what he does and how he acts and how he treats people and all those things, then he's not just controlled by his own flesh, his own desires, his own lust or whatever, but instead he's in control of that, because he doesn't want to be disqualified for the prize. He's going for the gold. Don't let your body, don't let your own flesh trip you up. Our flesh will war against and fight against God's spirit at work in us. Our flesh will battle for control of our life and of our choices. And so we'll have to fight at times against our own desires, those things that want to make us go another direction and away from God. We'll have to fight to make sure we keep pleasing God and serving him. We have to stay true to Jesus. We'll have to be determined to keep surrendering to his lordship in our life and over our lives. So no, I'm not going to do that. I know that's what the temptation is. The Bible says that we're tempted, we're drawn away by our own lust, what's in our own heart and mind. That's what we desire, that's what we want, and we're drawn away from that. But Paul says, no, I'm going to subject my body and make it obedient to Christ rather than, and to obedience to his word rather than just obeying my flesh and what I want. So I'm going to say no to that. I know, yeah, I would choose that, but I'm going for the gold, and I'm going to surrender my purposes to Jesus. Keep surrendering to him and to his lordship. There will be opposition, but we're more than conquerors through Christ, so keep going for the gold. And then we looked at this a few weeks ago when we were studying the book of 2 Timothy, but we have to play by the rules. If you're going for the gold, you have to play by the rules so you won't be disqualified. If you step out, there's points taken away or whatever. If you're using some kind of illegal substance or whatever, you can be disqualified and all those things. Paul writes to Timothy, if anyone competes as an athlete, he doesn't receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. You can't win the gold if you aren't living by God's rules. I read somewhere in one of the commentaries that it was a requirement of a certain period of months or years that you had to be in strict training. It was part of the rules, so people couldn't just show up. But it was a long season of preparation and training required, and it was great entertainment in those days. So they expected their athletes to be finely tuned and honed and ready to go or whatever. So you had to obey those rules, and if you cheated, if you broke the rules, you'd be disqualified. There can be no success apart from living according to God's word and according to his rules. The Bible says God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And living apart from his word means running in darkness. It means stumbling along in the race, losing your way because you can't see where you're going without the light of his word. You're just kind of stumbling around out there. Imagine, yeah, it's like we're going to run, but we're going to do this in the dark. There's no lights or whatever. It'd be an entirely different thing, you know, and it's hurdles too. Did I mention that? And so we're trying to run hurdles in the dark, and you know, ever whatever, 15 meters, then we have to get up because we just fell over a hurdle, and we get up and head to the next one. We're feeling our way through there. That's not how this works, but that's what trying to live your life without the light of God's word to guide you. It's the lamp to our feet, a light to our path, so we know where we're going, and without it, we're going to fall. It makes life difficult without the word of God and living according to that word. If you want to succeed in life, if you want to succeed in business, if you want to succeed in relationships, in marriage, in family, in parenting, in your walk with God, in a new career, whatever it is, live according to God's word. The Bible says it'll make you smarter than your teachers. I wouldn't necessarily tell them that, but it'll give you insight, right? Live according to God's word. Stop ignoring God's rules. Stop setting aside God's principles for living. You want to have a successful business? Well, I heard that you had to be vicious and lie and cheat and steal. No, I want to tell you what. If you'll be obedient to God and obey his word, I can introduce you to some folk in this church who have built incredible businesses, and they did it based upon the principles of God's word. I can introduce you to somebody who had prayer meetings at their business and built a successful business, still does that, build another business. I'm telling you, if you'll live according to the principles of God's word, it makes a difference. And violating his word and his commands leads to failure and defeat. You'll be disqualified for the prize. It may make you a whole bunch of money, but in the end, it doesn't leave you with very much. A lot of brokenness and a lot of pain. You have to compete according to his rules if you're going for the gold. And then you have to do this. You have to get rid of every hindrance. So the writer of Hebrews tells us, if we're running a race, to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and then let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Nobody goes into the race, and nobody can win the race if you're running with weights on your arms and legs, you know. So they may train that way with some kind of weights, but then they're going to take those off for the competition. Nobody's running with 10-pound, you know, weights in your hands or whatever. Athletes get rid of anything that will slow them down. So swimmers, you know, shave off the body hair or whatever. Like, can you think that makes a difference? I don't know, but you don't see any really hairy guys in the pool, do you? I'm not sure what that's about. I remember a few years back, one of the guys that in one of the meets, they had a beard or whatever, and I remember the commentator said something about, I can't believe the coach is letting him swim that way. Like, is that putting that much drag through the water? I don't know. But you want every advantage in this thing. So runners and cyclists, look for ways to reduce the drag and whatever the kind of outfit, uniform they're wearing or whatever. Listen, if the difference between gold and silver is 1/100 of a second, you know, it's the difference between this is silver and that's gold. That's silver and that's gold, right? It's that right there. You know, it's this or this. It's that or it's this. If it's that close, then yeah, you want to get rid of anything that's slowing you down. It's the difference in the metal. And so you've got to get rid of stuff that's pulling you back, that's hindering you from being everything you can be for God. As followers of Jesus, sometimes we're trying to run and we're dragging all kinds of stuff out of the past, and guilt and sin, addiction to something, unforgiveness, bitterness, pride, jealousy, anger, all this stuff, and we can't win a race like this. So Paul says, get rid of the stuff that hinders you, sins that try to trip you up, that stuff that, those prevailing kind of things that just are always there, and you just have to deal with it. Get rid of it. Throw off everything that hinders you. Get rid of the stuff that keeps you from growing in your relationship with the Lord. What is it? Maybe it's not even, not necessarily something sinful. It's just something that's keeping you from being your best for Jesus and accomplishing everything he has for you. Then throw that stuff off. Get rid of it. It's tripping you up. It's unholy stuff that separates you from Jesus. It's slowing you down in your growth and in your discipleship. Get serious about running the race and winning the prize, because we're going for the gold and it makes a difference. And then we have to stay focused on the prize. Why am I doing this? Why all the sacrifice? For the Olympics, for the athletes in the Olympics, they're doing it for the gold medal. They're doing it for the satisfaction or the prestige, or it's just that personal accomplishment or whatever, but it's nice to win the gold, right? And it's pretty nice, the fame and the money from product endorsements that comes with it. You write a book and you get your face on the Wheaties box or whatever it is, or you're selling shoes or, I don't know, whatever you're selling, but God bless them. And here's what Paul says about the race. We read this a minute ago. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. In the ancient games, so the crown was a garland wreath, a crown of made out of whatever, greenery of some kind that they put on your head, and it was going to die in a matter of days. But hey, you got to wear it, and everybody knew that you won the race. For modern Olympians, you get a medal, gold, silver, or bronze. But we're talking about a crown that Paul said, a crown that will last forever. And by that, he's not talking necessarily about a physical crown, but he's talking about everything that eternal life with God in heaven will provide, all that that means. He's talking about God's presence and his glory and his peace and his righteousness and every blessing that's associated with the end of things and being in God's presence, being in heaven. And so don't lose focus. Don't take your eye off the prize. I heard one of the athletes yesterday say something about, they're asking, what does it mean for you when you're standing on that podium and you hear the, you know, you've got your gold medal and you hear the national anthem playing or whatever? And she said, you know, it is really emotional. She said, part of it is that you're representing your country, and part of it is just the knowledge of all the sacrifice and all that you gave up and all you did without and all the hours of hard work and training. It's all been worth it. It culminated in this. You know what? They stayed focused on the prize. They stayed focused on what this was all about. Don't lose focus. Don't take your eye off the prize. I've seen Christians late in the day, late in the race, lose sight of the prize, forgot what it's all about, and they gave up. And let me just tell you again, it's about Jesus, and it's about heaven, and it's about eternity. And as my old grandma said, children, don't miss heaven, because if you miss heaven, you've missed everything. Don't miss heaven. Was it worth it for that can of soup from last Sunday's sermon? Was it worth it and somebody bought me like another 2 dozen cans of chicken gumbo, so I'm good to go for another year. Is it worth that? Is it worth it for this, the soup? For heaven, for eternity? No, nothing's worth that. Keep your eye on the prize. Don't stop pursuing Jesus. It's about him and about heaven and about eternity, and there is nothing here that can compare. Stay focused on the goal. Stay focused on the prize. Finish the race. Don't sell out. Don't settle for less than completing the race and winning the prize, because it's about eternity, and you got to stay focused. Here's the next thing. You may not hear applause, but somewhere a crowd is cheering. And one of the difficult things about this year's Olympics is, of course, there's no audience in the stands. And I don't know what kind of effect that has. I just figure, well, they've got to be so focused on what they're doing that I don't know if they're aware that, you know, if you're hearing people screaming and yelling or whatever, But for some of those, that their particular sport may be used to the energy of a large crowd, basketball players, that kind of thing, I would think it has some kind of effect. But one of the things I've enjoyed is seeing the reaction of family and friends watching from home, and they cut to a split screen thing and they show the family, or there's whatever, a room full of people somewhere. If you saw the friends, that gal from Alaska, Lydia Jacoby or whatever, and they showed her friends and they just went berserk, and they were interviewing her, and she said, well, like three or four of those friends at the front, she said, those are like my best friends in school. And this is a teenage girl, right? And so they're just jumping up and down. Just, if you saw that video, just going berserk that she won the gold medal in the 100-meter swim competition. And there may not have been anybody in Tokyo cheering for this unknown teenage swimmer. She's competing. In fact, one of the other ladies was the world record holder in the 100-meter, and she wins gold. Nobody's cheering in Tokyo, but trust me, somewhere in Alaska, there was a crowd cheering her on and just losing their minds. And all the challenges and all the obstacles in your walk with the Lord and all the sacrifices you endure, and it feels like nobody notices and nobody applauds, and maybe they just don't care, and you start to wonder, well, maybe nobody does care. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's not worth it. You just got to remember somewhere there's a crowd cheering. And that passage we just read from Hebrews about throwing off everything that hinders, well, the whole verse reads, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, then let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Friends, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and they are cheering us on. All those saints who have gone before us are counting on us. Don't quit. Don't stop. You can't hear them, but trust me, they're cheering. They're cheering. Come on. You've got this. You can do this. Don't stop. Keep running. Keep going for the gold. You're not doing this alone. It feels like it most days or whatever, and you're just kind of dragging through it, and oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do this again, but there, you're not doing this alone. There's a crowd that's cheering from heaven. They're counting on you making it. They're counting on seeing you, and you're getting close to the finish line. Don't stop. Don't sell out. Don't quit. Don't compromise. Keep going. They're waiting on you. They're cheering from heaven, and you're going to make it. And the final thing is to just notice who presents the gold. Because Paul says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And in the Olympics, the fighter wins the fight, the runner completes the race, and there's an earthly judge that awards the gold medal. But Paul says when we win our fight and when we complete our race, we'll stand in the winner's circle, or we'll stand on that podium, and the Lord himself is the judge who awards to us a crown of righteousness. It's Jesus who will say, congratulations, by the sacrifice of my blood, my life, you're saved. And you received my forgiveness, and my righteousness was given to you. And then you cast off all the other sins that tried to hinder you and slow you down. And you trained, and you ran, and you were disciplined, and you didn't quit, and you didn't give up. You ran with determination. Remember what the Holy Spirit said, what the Lord said to all those churches in Revelation? And to he who overcomes, I'll grant eternal life. He who overcomes, and he'll say, and that's what you did. You trained, you ran, you fought with purpose and passion, and now you finished the race, you won the race, you crossed the finish line, welcome home, and enter into the joys of heaven. You've won the gold. And you imagine the music begins to play, but this time it's not the national anthem. Maybe it's the national anthem of heaven, but it is a song that we know because Revelation teaches us the words. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and we begin to sing. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Talk about emotion. It's going to be a little different, isn't it? And this time, instead of wearing those crowns, we cast our crowns at his feet and we bow before him because we know we just got here by his grace. It wasn't by our efforts, even though we gave it everything we had. We just did that because we knew how incredible His grace was, that He had saved us and forgiven us, and He's given us strength and power to be everything He's called us to be. Go for the gold today. Strive for the prize. Live your life in such a way that it's pleasing to the Lord. Don't lose focus and don't give up. And don't be discouraged. I know it gets tough some days, but there is a crowd cheering somewhere. Keep going. The finish line is just ahead. You're almost there. Run. Press on. Lean in. Give it all you got. Give it that last ounce of strength and energy and go for the gold. You'll never regret it. Watching that 1,500-meter competition last night and the American swimmer that won the gold, he was in third place much of that race, third or fourth, and it was that last 50 meters or whatever that he just broke out, and you watched his sisters at home. They kept flipping over there, and the people that were just screaming and cheering for him that obviously he couldn't hear, but it was that last 50 meters, and he just broke away from the pack. The same way with some of the runners or whatever, just that last 10 meters or whatever, and they break away from everybody else. Why? Because I'm giving it everything I've got. Because I know how close we are. I know we're almost to the end, and so we got to give it everything we've got to be able to cross the finish line, to finish strong, to finish well, because we're going for the gold, so I can't give up. I know, but you're so tired, and it's just right there. It's just up ahead. You don't want to lose. It's so close. Just push on through. Just a little while longer. Come on, you can make it. Give it that last ounce of strength and energy and go for the gold. You'll never regret it. Not for all of eternity. There's a song somewhere in this world that the Winans sang. It was on an Andre Crouch tribute CD or whatever. And it's just one of my favorite lines in there. They did Andre's song about it won't be long till we'll be leaving here. And I can still hear whichever one of the Winans it is that he says, can you hold on? Can you just hold on? It won't be long. Can you just hold on? Can you just finish strong? Can you throw off everything that's trying to trip you up and slow you down? Because we're so close to heaven. Jesus is coming, folks. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to do a series on the coming of the Lord. It's so close, so you can't give up. You can't stop now. We're almost there. Amen? Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your call to us. Thank you, Lord, for your call to us this morning. I just wonder, while your heads are bowed, who would be honest and say, you know what? In my own heart of hearts, I haven't really been going for the gold. I've just settled for less than that. I haven't even been going for the bronze. I've just kind of been phoning it in. I've lost something, and I need to reconsecrate myself to the Lord. I need to just say again, Lord, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I recommit my life to being the disciple that you've called me to be. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Let me see where you are so I can pray for you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There in the back. Thank you. I saw hands going up everywhere. I wonder if we can just pray together this morning to make this a prayer of dedication, just a prayer of consecration. I think all of us, the truth is all of us could in some form or fashion kind of say, yeah, I haven't been... Maybe I haven't been on my best game, you know. Maybe I haven't really been giving it everything. A few of you maybe can say yes, but most of us, I think, can say no. There's some areas of my life where I recognize that I haven't been as devoted. I haven't been as surrendered to Him. There's an area of my life. There's something I've been holding back from Him. There's something else that hasn't quite been surrendered to Him, and we need to do that today. I want you to just take a moment to examine your heart. Just ask, Lord, show me, is there some area of my life that I need to commit to you? Is there something, a sin, something that's hindering me, that's separating me and my fellowship, Lord, with you? Then, Lord, I want to surrender that to you today. Let's just pray that prayer of surrender today. Lord, we pause this morning just to examine our own heart and our own life, to look within and to just examine, Lord, are there things in us, Lord, that we've kept back from you? Things that we need to commit to you, Lord. Are there little things, sins that hinder us? Are there things that are tripping us up that are affecting our discipleship and we know it's there? Lord, maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's something, Lord. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it could be a million things, Lord. But there's something that it's stopping us from being everything you've called us to be. And this morning, Lord, we're surrendering it to you. We put it in your hands, Lord. We recognize the coming of the Lord is sooner than ever. Maybe just for us personally, but I think for all of us, Lord, we're getting closer to the end of the race. We're almost there, Lord. We're almost there. In a boxing match, we hear that. It means there's 10 seconds left in that round. Well, some of us are hearing that sound. Lord, there's just a little while left in the round. We've got to give it everything we've got. We've got to persevere. We've got to press in because we're so close to the end. We've got to remain faithful, Lord. We've got to overcome. And so, Lord, we pledge to you today that we will not pull back. We won't quit. We won't give up. We won't give in. We won't surrender to anything but to you, Lord. We're going to pursue you like we're going for the gold. We're going to dedicate ourselves to you, Lord, like those athletes have dedicated themselves to pursuing that gold medal. Lord, we're going to pursue our walk with God and live in a way that's pleasing to you. We want to sell out to Jesus, Lord. We want to sell out to you today. God, grant us the strength and the grace to be everything you've called us to be, everything you desire us to be, that we can make a difference in this world, that we can take others to heaven with us, and that we can finish the race and keep the faith and stand before you one of these days as you present the gold to us. Lord, let it be as we surrender our hearts to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Purpose of the Lord is that you might persevere and overcome all of the challenges and the obstacles of life. He's granted his grace to you. He's placed his Holy Spirit upon you and within you. He's enabled you to win the race, to run in the manner in which you can win. And so trust in the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't surrender to the pressures of this world, but trust in the Lord and run with courage. Run with the endurance that's given to you through the grace of God and win the race. Trust in the Lord and he will see you through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We purpose in our heart we won't surrender to anything but you and we'll endure. It's what a good soldier does. It's what an athlete does. We'll endure hardship or sacrifice. We'll endure it because we know we're close to the end of the journey, Lord. We're going to run with courage, and you're going to see us through every battle. Hallelujah. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, we can make it. We can. I know it's not easy. I know some days it'd be easier to just throw in the towel and quit. But I'm telling you, I've had all these song lyrics running through my head, you know. Suddenly thinking of Paul Simon, the boxer. For every blow that cut him down or struck me, but the fighter still remains. We're still here. We're not losing. We're going to press on. We're going to make it. We can go for the gold, and we're going to win. Amen? Receive the blessing of the Lord this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And amen. Let's go for the gold. Let's win this thing. Amen. Stick around. Stay for Sunday school. Have a cup of coffee, and we'll see you Wednesday night, if not before. Thanks for being with us this morning.